So, John, I mean, not unexpectedly, we've talked a lot on The Takeaway about the different congressional races going on around the country, whether Republicans will have enough votes or have enough candidates to take control of the House or the Senate or both or none, right?
I mean, that certainly seems to be the big headline as far as the White House is concerned, and I think certainly as far as national policy is concerned. But the recession manifests itself differently in different places around the United States.
And that's really the thing. We have 50 different, I mean, millions of different places, but 50 different specific places in our states. And it turns out that there's actually 37 governor's races up for grabs in the midterm elections from Maine to Hawaii. That's the most ever in a single election year.
No, and they're all very different. I mean, you got a huge unemployment rate, 12% in California, which has changed that race around, and different numbers in every single state.
They are very different, and yet the messages from all the candidates sound oddly familiar.
Now let's talk about the real issues in this campaign.
Job training and also job retraining.
Responsible job growth.
I'm on a mission to create more jobs.
I'll attract and keep jobs here.
I believe more economic growth and jobs are the solution.
I want the wasteful spending cut.
Get spending under control and create jobs.
Those are both Democrats and Republicans. You'd never know since they all sound pretty much the same.
So let me get this straight. Don't create jobs.
Well, you know, the president is out stumping for a number of different governors, potential governors. And here to explain why the president cares about who takes a governor's office, we've got Kareem Creighton with us, law professor at the University of North Carolina School of Law. Good morning.
Good morning. Good to be with you.
Okay, so let's be clear. Governors have no standing in national politics. In other words, they can't make national policy.
They can't officially make national policy, but they do have a lot of bearing on how national policy gets made. And part of it has to do with the fact that governors are the people who really carry through a lot of the policies that get adopted in Washington to make sure that people in the states actually get realistic results. And so I think you hear a lot of that conversation about jobs because governors have set the climate in states to either attract jobs or maybe pull jobs away.
All right. Well, let's kind of go through some of the things that that governors do that end up having resonance inside the Beltway. And the first one is that they're the head of their party. Technically, I mean,
that's right.
They're officially the head of either the Democrats or the Republicans in their state, right?
For the most part, they can pretty much run the machinery that makes sure that votes get cast for not just themselves, but also members of their party who run for offices up the ballot. In cases where presidents are running for office or re-election, and also down the ballot, where people, even as mayors, are running for that election.
So, I mean, in the case of like a Ronald Reagan, who was a master at fundraising and mobilizing voters, that can really be a coup when as the head of the party, they become a force.
Well, absolutely. I think they can become a kingmaker in presidential primary politics because who they throw their support to usually has an advantage when they're running in that state for election, at least to become the nominee of the party.
And Kareem Creighton, the fact of the electoral college means that in national campaign times, governors campaigning in their states are absolutely crucial. They probably wouldn't be as significant if it wasn't for the electoral college.
I think that's actually a large part of it, but in part because they themselves had to be elected. They have a cache of votes at the ready and a network of people out there to do things like hang doors, signs, and get people out to the polls on election day. That's a really important asset when it comes to running a 50-state campaign.
Well, they're also the final judge in their state. I mean, they get to handle clemency, pardons, the death penalty policy in their state as well, which obviously came back to haunt Mike Huckabee.
That's true. They do have a lot of unquestioned authority, like granting clemency. But they also have, I think, agenda-setting authority. Even though the legislature obviously adopts statutes, governors, for example, with budgets, actually usually set up the framework for the discussion that the legislature has about where the taxes go up, how jobs get created, et cetera. So they do have a lot of important powers.
Okay, so Kareem Creighton, we're going to talk just a moment about some of these races, which perhaps will have the most national resonance. But first, one of the things that governors really have a hand in is redistricting. And this is often what the parties are most interested in.
That's true, in part because for the next 10 years, all of the political races that happen in the state are going to be pretty much run by how lines are drawn. Whether they're more hospitable for Democrats or Republicans is usually a decision that gets made by how the governor decides to either exercise his veto or not in looking over a redistricting plan.
And we are close because we just had a census.
precisely. We're just about to start the process. The census has run its course. It's about to transmit the numbers to the states, and that gets the process started.
Okay, so let's now go. I mean, we have 37 governor offices up for grabs. Which are the ones that really could end up having the largest effect?
Well, I think most states after the census will be pretty much the same in terms of the number of congressional seats that they have. But because of population shifts, states like California, states like Texas, New York, Florida, these sound like big electoral states, they're going to be experiencing changes in the number of seats that they have available to them in Congress. And accordingly, the state legislatures are going to have to redraw lines to compensate for the increases or decreases in their seats. And those are going to be big states, of course, that most presidential candidates for 2012 are going to be looking very closely at. So those are places where, in some cases, like in California and Florida, election commissions have been established to redraw districts. So legislatures are now going to have to work in concert with these new bodies. And so I think in all of those senses, it's going to be, I think, a very interesting and in some ways unpredictable process.
All right. So, you know, Kareem, as we said before, it's often a stepping stone to the presidency. In fact, more former governors have become president of the United States than senators have. So any predictions? Are you looking around at the candidate pool and seeing any likely future commanders in chief?
Well, I'm not sure I can handicap it right now, but I would say among the Republicans, I'd say it's the rarity, the exception, that you're going to find a person who doesn't have governor's experience running, or at least thinking about running. And that includes, of course, sitting governors like Haley Barbour in Mississippi, as well as former governors, for example, Mitt Romney and Sarah Palin.
If Christ wins in Florida, he's a national figure immediately.
That's possible, in part because he's not even running within a political party structure. And so he could make an argument that neither Democrat nor Republican could make, that he really is interested in results. But that race looks very close right now, so it's very difficult to know whether he's going to be successful.
All right. Kareem Clayton, law professor of the University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill, thanks so much for joining us.
You're quite welcome to us.
Well, respect for the governor.
It's fascinating to think about, though. I mean, if Christ wins, and, you know, Jerry Brown is ahead of Meg Whitman by double digits this morning.
Yeah, absolutely.
But if Brown wins, I mean, he's already a national candidate. He can't possibly go for the White House.
No.